Not too bad for a holiday weekend. Glad to see you guys here today. You never know on a holiday weekend how many will be here in the city or not down the shore, or up in the mountains or somewhere else. But we're here today, and I'm glad you're here. But even if we all were here and Jesus wasn't here, I wouldn't be here. I might like you all, but listen, we come here to be in his presence. Amen? And we're going to take some time this morning also to have the Lord's Supper together. So I will do my best to keep the message, you know, concise, but it goes together. So Father, bless your word to our hearts. Let us receive it with gladness. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, that we may do all that you've called for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Who likes to take tests, exams? Come on, nobody's raising their hand? Nobody likes it? There's got to be somebody that likes it. No? Wow, that was pretty good. Nobody like. Do you like taking doctor's exams? No, jeez. I guess I hit a nerve here, didn't I? nobody really likes exams. Some of us do better than others on those types of things. But it's good for us to examine ourselves. It's important for us to examine ourselves. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6. He says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart." It really does come down to the heart. The heart is the issue. Jesus said everything flows from that. But a life that has been reborn, a life that has received Christ and has been born again into his family, will have evidence that something happened to them. That new birth will have evidence in the life, in the way they now live. We'll never achieve perfection here. So, you know, don't worry that you stumble occasionally and that you have some issues here and there. We all do. But we should be striving for that perfection, but knowing that he will ultimately perfect us when we get to be with him in glory one day. But we do want to see a life that is looking more like Jesus each day. The Apostle Peter says in his second epistle, chapter 1, verse 5, we'll pick it up, "But also for this very reason," our faith, our new birth, about this whole idea of who we are, he says, listen, "Give all diligence," or giving all diligence, "add to your faith." He's talking about our saving faith. You're saved by the grace of God through faith, not of any works. And when you are saved by faith, Peter says, that's great. That's the starting point. You need to be there. You can't get anywhere without that. But you have to add. You have to add to it. You have to see these things added to your faith. He says, add virtue. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. You know, one of the things that's interesting in those virtues, if you want to call them that, or those characteristics, is that they all are heart issues. See, we can do a lot of things by towing the line and living a life that we think is a good life, and we can do something, but that's not necessarily evidence of a life born again. We can go through the motions. The Pharisees were very good at that, the outward appearance, to go through the motions. But these characteristics of a Christian that Peter says have to continually be added into our life in Christ, they're heart issues. And as Jesus said, we can't change our hearts. Only he can. And what's in our hearts ultimately is what's going to flow out of from us. We can only fake it for so long. We can only hide it for so long. So Peter says, give it diligence to add to these things, to your faith, to grow. Because he says in verse 8, "For if these things are yours and abound," not just if you have them once in a while, but they continue to be more evident. You continue to display these characteristics of this new life. You continue to show these things. If they abound in you, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he says that, you know, we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. He said, if you're showing these characteristics, you're going to be showing fruit, and you're going to know Jesus, not only book knowledge, not only head knowledge, but you're going to know him through experience, and you're going to be able to relate that experience to others. You will become more like Christ. You will look like Jesus. You'll act like Jesus. You'll start to talk like Jesus. He says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. See, we have to remember what Jesus did for us. And if we are not abounding in these characteristics that he spoke about, then there's something wrong. Either we're not in the faith at all, or we're not growing in the faith. Now, obviously, there are two different things. Part of this examination today is to say, am I born again? Am I a child of God? Don't get nervous about that. That's good. Peter says we should check ourselves to make sure. Examine yourself. Paul says the same thing too. I might give that scripture a little bit later. Make sure you're in the faith. But we also want to make sure, if I am in the faith and I am secure in that knowledge that I am a child of God, that I'm born into the family, am I growing? Am I growing in sanctification? Am I growing the way he wants me to grow? Am I representing him well in church, in this world around me, to my family, to those that need to see Christ in me? Because if we don't have these things happening in our life, one of the reasons, he says, is you've forgotten. You're short-sighted. You don't see the big picture. You know, you're nearsighted. You need to put on the lens to focus better, you know? There's something wrong in your walk. Or you've forgotten what he did for you. Because once we know and understand and really begin to receive fully what Jesus did for us, our desire should be, Lord, I want to have these characteristics in my life. I want to be like you. You want to do it because he told you we should do it, and you want to be in obedience, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. But you also want to do it because you realize that that glorifies our Father in heaven, and it gives evidence to the world around us that something did actually change in us, and they can see that difference. So if we're not growing, we are short-sighted or nearsighted, and or we forgot. Maybe we forgot how bad we once were, and don't think you were that good, because you really weren't. None of us are. Maybe we forgot how much we needed to be washed by the blood of Jesus. Maybe we forgot what great cost he paid on the cross to save us from our sin, to wash our sins away. Maybe we forgot how great and complete his cleansing is. When he comes and washes you clean, you're clean. You are made completely whole. So he says, therefore, brethren, verse 10, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never stumble. Now, again, he's not talking about sinlessness, because, you know, we all will sin. If we say we don't sin, you're already stumbling right there, because you're lying if you say you don't sin. But what he's talking about is this lifestyle is going to keep you walking as the way you should. You know, you might do a little, you know, here and there, but you're not going to go do a flat fall where you can't get up again, you know? He says, no. He says, if you are these virtues, if these are these characteristics are in you, you won't stumble, and an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, again, I'll just repeat myself, but it is possible for an unsaved person to do many moral and religious things. It's, you could do it. You could outwardly just do these things. But when Peter wrote these things by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, these are heart issues that become evident. There's a difference when you can tell when somebody is just really doing it externally only, but their heart has not changed. And if you walk with them long enough, if you talk with them long enough, you'll see the evidences of the heart come out, the true of what of what's going on inside, and whether that heart has been changed by Jesus Christ or not, by the Holy Spirit doing that work in that person. So if we're born again, it'll show in the way we live. And there is an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. I knew a man who was a Christian. I didn't know he was a Christian until we got to talk. And I knew him, though, for many years. And what he said to me, I realized why I never knew he was a Christian. I knew him because our kids went to school together. And I knew him from, and my son, Joe, was very good friends with his son, and so we saw a lot of them, and I knew him. And we were somewhere, I think some kind of sporting event or whatever, we were doing something, and we got to talking about the Bible, and I was fairly newly saved, I mean a few years, and got to talk about, you know, Jesus and all, and we got on the subject, and he mentioned that he was a Christian, and he said this, actually almost proudly. He said, you know, I'm one of those skin-of-your-teeth Christians. And he wasn't just like laughing, he was like kind of serious. And what he meant by that is when, you know, it says in Corinthians, it says that some will be saved as if by fire. In other words, by the skin of their teeth they're going to get in. Listen, I don't want any of us to just get in there by the skin of our teeth. Because if you're trying to get in by the skin of your teeth, there's something saying they're wrong already. If you're saved and you've done to say, let me do the least minimal, you know, the minimal amount of things that I need to do, the least things I need to do just to get into heaven because I'm saved by grace and I just want to get in, I don't want to do anything else, then there's a problem. I don't think you've really ever been touched. Now, I've talked to that man after that time and he's changed that position that he once had a long time ago, praise God. But you and I don't want to get in just as by fire. It's great to get in, praise God. And some will get in that way, because it's, again, by grace, not works. However, that shouldn't be our attitude. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to serve you so that you are glorified in my life. It's not so much that we care about the abundant entrance in, but if we're doing what we're supposed to do, Jesus says, I will welcome you in that way. You know, I heard one time that a ship can come into port two ways. It can come in half sinking, waterlogged, with all the pumps going on, bailing, and just barely getting there, can't steer, just getting into port. Or it can come in with its, you know, sails high and the wind behind it, coming in like looking all proud. And you know, how do we want to get into the kingdom of God? Like this, you know, with shame? Or do we want to get in not boasting, but saying, Father, I'm here, and hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What will our entrance be like? Now, you may say, why are we talking about this morning? Well, one of the things with communion is we are told in the Lord's table to examine ourselves. And Peter, knowing these things, says in those verses in his epistle, verse 12, he says, for this reason, I will be not negligent to remind you always of these things, for you, though you know and are established in the present truth. In other words, he says, yeah, you've heard a lot of this stuff before. A lot of it is basics, but we need the basics. We need to be reminded of the basics. We need to examine ourselves. We need to go through this examination process because we need to know that we are in the faith and if we're growing in the faith. So wherever you are this morning, that's the exam. That's where you and I need to be at this moment. To, Lord, I want to examine myself, but Father, would you examine me and reveal to me those areas in my life that maybe aren't what they should be? And Lord, I want to know for sure that I am in you, that I am born into the family of God, that I am saved from my sins, and that I want to know, Lord, that I am growing in my faith. Again, first and foremost, to glorify you, but also to be a witness to the world around me, to be established in the truth. And that's what Peter says here. He says that we are established in this present truth, which is the gospel of Christ. And it's interesting word choice that the Holy Spirit allowed Peter to use. It's the same word strengthened here, where he talks about the word established here is the same word as strengthened used back in Luke's gospel in Luke 22. Remember when Peter, this is before the cross, he wasn't born again yet, but he was a disciple, you know, and set to be an apostle, and he was going to stumble, he was going to deny Jesus, and Jesus had said, hey Peter, I'm praying for you. Satan wants to devour you. He wants to, like wheat, he wants to tear you apart, man. He says, but I'm praying for you. He says, and when you are converted, or when you are established, strengthen the brethren. In other words, help them to understand that we don't have to fall, but if we do, there is a way to be restored back, a way that we can walk as we should again. He wants us to know that you can strengthen the brethren. And Peter, I'm sure, remembered this, as he's now an older man, as he has now walked, as he, even as an apostle, stumbled at times and messed up at times. He says, you know, church, I want to always remind you of these things. And I have five quick points I want to go through. But I want us also to remember, look at that list again in your quiet time, in your devotional time, maybe later today. Is virtue being added to your faith? You know, are these different things? Is there a point where, well, brotherly love is there sometimes because I just try to get along with people, though they get on my nerves, but is love there? You know, do you love as we should love? So let's look at these 5 points real quickly, and then we're going to take time to examine ourselves at the table, which is a beautiful place and time to examine ourselves. First, I think they have them on the screen too. Know for a fact that you trust Christ alone for your salvation. You say, well, that's very basic, Pastor Joe, and it is. But Peter's all about the basics right now. Do you know this morning that if you are born again into the family of God, it's not by anything that you have done? It's by the grace of God alone. You know, Ephesians 2 says, you know, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you know that? Are you sure of that? Are you still trying to work for your salvation? Are you still trying to get into the kingdom by reforming yourself? You can't reform yourself into the kingdom of God, but you can be transformed. You can be changed. You can be saved by his precious blood if you come to him by faith and receive it. Because none of us can do it, because Romans 3:23, you all know this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. There's not one that can get into heaven on their own merits. Not one. See, when Jesus went to the cross, that's what he did. Behold, the Lamb of God came into the world, the sinless sacrifice for our sin. He didn't come to start the religion. He didn't come in to start, you know, this, that. He didn't come in just to heal people or teach people. He did all those things. What he came in is to die, to be a sacrifice, the Lamb of God. You know, we sang that this morning. The one who knew no sin, right, became sin, took our sin upon himself. So that when he died and paid the penalty for that sin on the cross, we who believe by faith in that finished work can know that we are saved and born again. Because he cried on that cross, it is finished. It's paid in full. So when we come to him by faith, we receive it by faith. The beautiful grace of God comes into our life and we're born into the family. And when you know that it is finished, when your salvation rests in him alone, then you and I should want to, all of a sudden, begin to obey him. That's point number two. Just obey him. You know, a Christian is one who just wants to obey his Father in heaven. You know, if you read 1 John chapter 3, I don't have the time this morning to go through that, you know, that those verses, but if you read especially chapter 3, you know, John wrote that epistle. He says, I'm writing to you, church, so that you don't sin. Now, he knew we were going to sin because he even says it in there. I already said that. If you say you don't sin, you're lying, so you're sinning right now. He says, but I want to write this epistle to remind you that we don't have to sin. The truth is, once we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. We don't have to sin. We're given everything we need for life and godliness. We can do it, but we all do fall short still, even after we're saved. But we have to remember something. He says, John makes it very clear in his epistle, a Christian will not abide in sin. You won't stay there. You sin, and it may linger a little while, but you're going to get convicted by the Holy Spirit. You're going to want to repent. You're going to want to go before the Lord, and you're going to want to do what James says in his epistle. He says in 1 James 22, he says that we would be doers of the word, not hearers only, just deceiving ourselves. In other words, you'll open the Bible, you'll spend some time with the Lord, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will begin to convict us of our sins, and you say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've sinned. And John has the remedy for that. He says to the church, not to unbelievers, he said, if you have sinned, he said, if you confess your sin, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But we want to obey him. Proverbs 8 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. Jesus said it himself on several occasions, but I just chose this one. He said it a couple times in his Gospels. He says this in John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. You just will. You just want to. You want to please your Father. You want to thank him with your life that is a living sacrifice for all that he has done for you. Number three, if you're still not sure about some of these things, the Holy Spirit will make you sure. The witness of the Holy Spirit. See, a Christian who is born again and is led then and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, when you're saved and born again, the reason there's a new birth is the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit, King James says itself, better translation is himself, because the Holy Spirit is not an it, but the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you know there's many days that I do not feel like a Christian? There's many times that you just feel like, am I really saved? But the Holy Spirit's there to remind us, if we're in the faith, that yes, you're his. You're his. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict you when you're sinning. The Holy Spirit will do those things, but he'll also let you know, he'll bear witness that you are the child of God. He brings understanding to us of the spiritual truths. He helps us to pray. The Bible says we don't know how to pray for as we should. The Holy Spirit will help us in that. It's an evidence that he's living within us when we begin to understand these spiritual truths and we can pray and go before our Father. He comforts us with comfort that nothing in the world can ever comfort us. The Holy Spirit does that. All these things and more are the witness of the Holy Spirit that we are the children of God. And as Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Two more real quickly, and then we'll come down to the table together. One of the other evidences of us being in the faith, we're going to love one another. We may get on each other's nerves. Yeah. We're not always going to agree on everything. That's actually a good thing, by the way. And I'll explain that more another time. Because there's sometimes iron's got to sharpen iron, you know. But we're going to love each other. We're going to get annoyed sometimes. And we're going to have to sometimes sit down with one another and speak truth in love. You know, not to speak truth to get it off your chest, to tear somebody apart, to rip them, you know what I mean? But to speak truth in love, the things that need to be said. But the evidence, or one of the other evidences of being born again into the family of God, is we're going to love one another. John says this in his epistle, chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Christians are known for loving one another, or we should be known for that. I hopefully, when I have more time, will talk a little bit more about this because it's a subject very dear to my heart, and I've witnessed what the Holy Spirit does in bringing the church together in love. And when you love that, this is what will happen. Jesus said this to us, and it's very important. It's an evidence for us, but it's also an evidence to the world. John chapter 13. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. See, our witness will never be effective if we can't learn to love one another here. If we don't get it done right in here, we're never going to be really effective outside in this world. It's a witness that we are born again, loving one another. And finally, you might be saying, well, heard this before. I already checked out when you started the examination. I already am thinking about my lunch today. Well, the problem with that is one of the other real evidences of being a child of God is that you like to hear these things over again and you want to be discipled. You want to grow. You want to continue. You don't just get saved and say, that's it, I'm done. I'll get in by the skin of my teeth. I'm good. No, you say, Lord, I want to grow. I want to bear fruit. I want to be discipled. Peter says in that verses that I was reading, if you read down a little more in 2 Peter, you know, he says it actually in chapter 3. He says to us, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Someone once said, Jesus did not call us to be fans, but followers. Disciples. A disciple means someone who actually walks in the footsteps of another. You know, when Jesus had those many crowds following him and he gave them the hard teachings, what does the Bible say? Many left him and never came back. They were fans. They were fans. But the ones that stayed were the disciples. And though they had a lot of growing to do, they said, Lord, teach us. Help us to grow. An evidence of the Holy Spirit, of the new birth in us, is that we will want this ongoing discipleship. Yeah, sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back. Sometimes it's two steps forward and four steps back. But there will be progress. We'll continue to grow. And we'll have the mindset that we want to grow, that we want to be more like Jesus. We will look to Jesus for instruction. We'll ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, teach me, help me, guide me, lead me into all truth. Not just head knowledge, but a real knowledge that I am living as my Father wants me to live. So examine yourselves. It's okay. It's good. I do it often because I don't always get it right. Lord, help me. Am I where I am supposed to be in this stage of my Christian life? Some days I'm telling you, you know, you say, Lord, am I really yours? And he gives me those evidence. He reminds me that I am. He'll give me that peace and assurance. But then I'll say, okay, Lord, what is it now that's making me feel this way? What is it in my life that needs to be changing right now? That even though I've been a Christian over 35 years now or something like that, I say, you know, what has to still change? Help me to know. Help me to see in this stage of my Christian life how I can be more like you. I want to examine myself. So as we come down to sit at the table, remember, Paul said to the Corinthian church, examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Know that you're not your own selves, but you that Christ is in you. Accept that you be reprobates. In other words, he says, examine yourself. It's okay because the Holy Spirit will bear that witness to you. He'll show you the things that need to be changed. See, the Corinthian church, they were saved, born again. They were a church, not just an organization. They were a church, but they were a mess. And they were very carnal. They were very carnal in the way of they displayed Christ. They were not good representatives for the most part. They had factions. They had the Apollos faction and the Paul faction and the Jesus faction, and they had all these different splits in there. They're fighting inside. They'd come together for the Lord's Supper and they would have a communal meal together, and then the people that would come and they would eat up all the food and not leave the food for the other people, and they would shun the people who were too poor to bring food, like, they don't need nothing. They would eat. I mean, it was a mess. Paul says, examine yourselves. Is this the way we're supposed to live? See, as our brothers, you guys can come up now, brothers, come on up, and we're going to distribute the elements. This is a great time to examine ourselves. Paul said, examine yourself. I'm going to actually read that today as we're getting ready. He says here in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, he says to them this, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So as our brothers are passing out the elements, as we pass the bread first, as Brother Jack's going to just pray before he passes it out, examine yourselves after he prays to see here where we are in all of this. Believe me, this test will do you wonders.